Welcome to this podcast series where I talk to the artists behind the music I play on my radio shows on ukcountryradio.com. Join me while I chat to and get to know the musicians and artists behind the music I play. Listen to their stories and their musical journeys and share some laughter and fun as you get to know the artists behind the music. Welcome to this episode of Bands of the Boudoir, and I have country music singer-songwriter Levi Riggs here with me today to share with us his musical journey. Hi, Levi, and welcome, and thank you for giving me your time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'm so excited. So, Levi, can you tell us about Levi, you know, where you were born and raised? And from what I understand, you had quite a transient childhood. Can you tell us about your childhood and your upbringing, please?
Yeah. Well, I'm born and sort of raised in Indiana. I was born in Indiana, and I lived in Indiana until I was about six. Then I moved to Minnesota, which is a much colder area, closer to Canada. And had to suffer through some cold winters up there as a kid, but it was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of sledding in the snow, and I had a huge dog, and me and that dog would go all over the place and tromp around. And then when I was about 10, we moved down to Texas, and I lived in Texas for a few years. So I kind of went down to cowboy country and was exposed to country music down there. Eventually we moved back to Indiana, and I finished high school and went to Purdue University in Indiana and got a degree in agriculture. And my family has kind of a lineage of farming. We came over from Ireland through the Port of New Orleans and settled in Indiana. My grandpa had a dairy farm there. And so when I was a kid, I worked on his dairy farm and milked cows and did all that sort of thing. And then, went to Purdue and learned, how to grow crops and, got a degree from Purdue. And while I was at Purdue, I was able to sing with a famous glee club called the Purdue Varsity Glee Club. And we, had the chance to tour in the UK. We went to England, Ireland, and Scotland. Sang in Manchester and Glasgow and St. Andrews, and just had a blast getting to tour. I just really fell back in love with the music that I'm affiliated with, which is, kind of Celtic music and country music. And they're kind of, similar. And so I wanted to write songs, and I started writing and recording my own songs when I was in college. And then I decided I needed to put a band together. And I was studying one night, and one of my friends came in, and he had just seen the Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line. And he said, "You need to go see that movie. Everything you want to do is in the movie, you know?" Of course I'm a big Elvis fan and a big Johnny Cash fan and Roy Orbison. And so it was great. I loved seeing what the possibilities were. And then from there, I put my own band together, and we started touring and playing, and it's just built and gotten bigger over time. And we've just been fortunate to play. I've got a great band, and we've been together for a long time, and we're great friends, and we share a lot of great moments on the road, and it's just been a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds a lot of fun, especially the of course the touring in the UK.
What's
your favorite part?
Well, there are so many highlights. We, a group of 50 guys, you could imagine college age guys that maybe like to drink a little beer.
I divulged too much.
Right. Yeah. We went and we sang at, St. James Gate at the Guinness Brewery in Dublin. And drinking Guinness and singing drinking songs with 50 of your best friends at 10 o'clock in the morning was a highlight. Even though we had a lot of concerts, we had some great concerts while we were there, getting to go to St. Andrews and tour the old course, the old golf course, and kind of see that was great. We had some just, actually getting to see the Crown Jewels in Scotland was awesome. And getting to tour, Edinburgh and everything, it was just incredible. So just so many great memories from all over, England, we sang in Manchester, and just had a blast. And we sang to sold out crowds, And everyone was warm and welcoming, and we just loved it.
Ah, sounds incredible fun. Now, in that first introduction that you gave me, you've kind of answered a lot of the questions I was going to ask you, which is great. But what I would like to do is to go back at the from when you first learned to read music. I believe that was your grandma's influence.
Yeah, we my so we you know I grew up in a family that went to church, and we all sang, everyone had our own parts. My uncle was a bass, my grandma was an alto, my dad was a first tenor, I was more of a lead, and my grandma, we had the hymnals, and we would pull the hymnals out and open them up, and there would be an organ player, an organist, who would lead through the hymnals, and we'd sing these old classic hymns, and my grandma would show me the line that I was supposed to be singing, and she would just follow with her hand, she put her finger on her hand and just follow, have me follow the line that I was supposed to sing. So that's how I learned to read music as a young boy, was singing along with her and following the notes, and then kind of watching where the notes moved through the song. So that was pretty neat. And to have uncles and aunts that are all musical, and hearing those harmonies in church, you don't hear that a lot anymore. That, a lot of church services are kind of contemporary, and it's more band based and that sort of music now. But back then it was all harmonies and, chorus style of singing. And so it was fun to learn that way.
What a lovely, wonderful musical education. No wonder music is deep rooted in your bones. So you mentioned about your influences being Johnny Cash and Elvis, which are mine as well. And you said that it was because I understand as well that you really didn't understand the Nashville music scene. And it was after you were told to watch I Walk the Line, which incidentally is, or Walk the Line is one of my favorite films too. It's really, really fantastic. So, and from there, it kind of put you on the path to Nashville. Is that right?
Yeah, I just being a country boy from the farm, I didn't know what was available to me. I knew I wanted to sing, and I didn't really know how to connect the dots. And I sang with the Glee Club, but the Glee Club was a different style of, it was a lot of opera type stuff and different styles of music, not country. And so I needed to find connections. But I knew kind of what I wanted to do. So Walk the Line kind of helped me, inspire the songwriting aspect. But then I had some friends that said, "Oh, well, you should go to Nashville." And I was like, "Okay, well, what's Nashville?" I mean, I just didn't know anything. I didn't know where to buy a guitar. I didn't know that there were great music stores that I could go to and find great instruments. I knew nothing. And I got a guitar online. It shipped to my dorm. And started to play it, and then a friend said, "Well, go to Nashville and take the demos that you've recorded here and take them to Nashville." So the first place I landed was Jerry Duncan Promotions, and Jerry Duncan is a famous radio promoter, and helps artists get their songs on the radio. And I had a meeting with him, and he welcomed me into his office, and he said, "I'd like to help you. You have a lot of natural talent, but we've got to get your production up to speed." So he had a Rolodex. If you could remember, a Rolodex is a list of numbers, and it's all in this rotary. And he just started flipping through it with all these contacts. And he said, "Get a pen." And he said, "Okay, write down these guys' names, And so he gave me a list of names to write down. And a couple of them were some really good producers and publishers. And so he led me into some great connections, which really helped me get started. And I'm forever grateful to Jerry for that. But a lot of it was just meeting people one at a time. So many great people in Nashville just are willing to help artists get going. And that's what I love about Nashville, is there's a desire there to help people. If they see that people really want to work for it.
You're right there. I mean, any kind of roots music style, like country, bluegrass, folk, the people in that genre, who have made it, they are so open to help those coming up
yeah.
the ranks, and they're so open to giving their time. They're so generous with it. You know, there's none of this, you know, oh no, I'm not going to help you, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm not going to, you know, but they cannot do enough to help up and coming artists, which I think is really fabulous. And yeah, I've heard that so much from people that I've talked to, that the generosity, I know in the bluegrass world, which is where I'm mostly focused, we have exactly the same.
Yeah.
They go to the festivals, you know, you meet one person, they'll introduce you to another. And so, I mean, that's fabulous. How lucky were you just to have planted yourself there?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. You know, some of the things that I've been able to be a part of, you know, just getting the chance to hang out with the Oak Ridge Boys. Those guys, Joe Bonsall, you know, Richard Sturban, you know, I mean, all of them have been great, but Joe especially, and Dwayne, you know, those guys have basically kind of just taken me under their wing. They, you know, they've been kind with their time, giving me advice. You know, I got to sing for Manuel, who designed all of Johnny Cash's clothes and Elvis's gold lamé suit, and I sang for his birthday. And you know, we just had conversations. We went out and had barbecue, and he was telling me stories of Johnny and June. And you know, it's a family, you know. And when you're in the family, you know, once you're in, you're in. You know, I've been fortunate to play and do shows with the Isaacs, who are now Grand Ole Opry members, and you know, bluegrass, just great singers. Sonia's great. And just, you know, when you're around those types of people, it's just a family, and it's a lot of fun.
That's how I'm beginning to see it a lot on the, you know, it seems to be exactly the same on the country music side as it does. I mean, I've been around the country music side quite a lot as well, but from the more I talk to artists, the more I realize that it is just a family thing, and the community is really supportive and really friendly, and
yeah,
has any airs and graces. It's just very approachable. Everybody's
great. Yeah. I'm thinking music, you know, as an artist, there's room for everyone. You just need to find your lane, if that makes sense. There's, you know, it's like you can't be someone else. You need to find who you are, and there's room for you if you're original and authentic. And I think that's, you know, that's what I've learned over the years, is just to be myself and do what I like to do, and just be original, you know. And it seems like then things start to come together.
Yeah, just be yourself. So you've had success with your debut singles, My Best Friend's a Girl and I'm Good, and also Tailgate Time, which, from what I understand, really catapulted you into the scene and led you to opening for some country greats like Josh Turner and Brett Eldridge. I mean, how exciting was that?
That was, yeah, incredible. You know, you never know what a song can do to change your life. I think that was the big lesson that I learned there, was, okay, I wrote a song that was about tailgating, about hanging out at a football game, before the game, in the parking lot with my friends, you know. And the president of the American Tailgaters Association heard it and said, hey, we love this song. This is a great theme. We want to introduce you to Lee Steinberg, who's a famous NFL agent who represents, you know, famous athletes like Patrick Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs. And he said, we'd like to have you come down to our Super Bowl party and perform. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And we went down there to Dallas, Texas, and performed there. And lo and behold, you know, Serena Williams was there, and Earl Campbell, who's a famous running back. And, you know, I realized that I was standing right next to Randy Travis right before I was getting ready to go on stage. And Lee was talking with my microphone, and I looked over to my left, and Randy was standing right next to me. And I said, Randy, I'm Levi Riggs. It's great to meet you. And he's just got a lot of great country music and has just been a tremendous guy too. But talk about a chance to meet a musical hero, you know, and that just opened up a lot of doors after that. It was like, then things really started to roll, and we got some great opportunities to open, like you said, for, you know, Josh Turner and Brett Eldridge and, you know, Travis Tritt and the Kentucky Headhunters. And I don't know, there's just so many, Brett Michaels even. It's just been tremendous to see what a song can do.
Fabulous. That's a fabulous story. It's such a feel good story.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it just starts with, you know, desire. You know, it's like, I just want to do this. And a lot of people ask me, well, how'd you get started? Well, it just starts by doing, you know, it starts by pulling out your guitar and writing a song. And it starts by making, you know, yourself known by introducing yourself to strangers, you know, and just asking for help, you know, and if you believe in yourself enough, you can get it done. But it just has to start with the want and the desire to go do it.
Of course, it's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's, you know, if it's really on your heart to do it, you'll do the work. It's because it's just part of it. It's like you don't really think of it as work. You know, you're just having fun.
Yeah, I think there's so many, well, not so many, but there are a few young musicians that I've come across that just think it's going to be handed to them on a
right.
And they don't realize that they have to get out there. They have to be true to themselves. They have to work at it. And they have to just keep plodding along. But if you really want it and you set it as your dream and you go for it, but without thinking about making it to the big time, the chances are you will get what you want.
Right. Right. Yep.
You've obviously been very true to yourself. You've gone out there. You said, I want to make music. I want to play music. And you've just put yourself in a situation where people can find you and have, you know, pushed you along a bit. So I want to go on to lockdown 2020. Like many of us, you flipped it around to a positive, didn't you? Because for you, it was time well spent, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I just wasn't willing to sit around and be idle. And, you know, the challenge for me was I typically played with a full band, you know, seven instruments on stage. We have a big full band, and I just, you know, we got locked down. All of our equipment was as it was the last day we were together. We had a rehearsal, then they locked everything down, and all of our equipment was still set up. So for about 3 or 4 months, I was walking across the room, seeing all of our drums and our guitars just sitting here. And I thought, I can't do this, you know? So I got my acoustic guitar out and just started doing Zooms, you know, and doing live broadcasts and things on Facebook, and, you know, just trying to inspire people. You know, I'd do some Sunday sessions and sing some gospel songs on Sunday. And then throughout the week, I'd do some lives where I'd take requests and people could message me requests. But then in the summertime, I decided to do a house concert tour, and I would go to your backyard. And all I asked was that you just had your family and friends, and everything was distant, you know, socially distant. And I would perform in the backyard in the open air. And, you know, and I had a blast just taking my guitar to people's backyards. And, you know, I wasn't asking for money. I just said, hey, if you would like to give me a donation, I'll come. You don't have to pay me a fee, but if you'd like to donate to me, then that'd be great. But it was a great way for me to, you know, galvanize my relationships with my fans and really, you know, get to know some of my fans on a deeper level, and really set me up for success coming out of the pandemic. You know, I became a better guitar player. I became, you know, I learned more about my voice and my guitar, and, that helped me a lot. So it gave me some more confidence to do some things on my own that I probably wouldn't have done if the pandemic had not happened.
Yeah, I think for so many people that I've spoken to, it was a positive experience in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, well done you. Sounds great. Now, in 2018, you released your EP, She's Everything. But just recently, you've released Horse and Whiskey on it, which I love. You know, I think
you.
So many people can relate. It'd be gin for me, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But, the lyrics,
pour some gin on it, yeah.
Pour some gin on it. Actually, I do like whiskey as well. So tell us about the song.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a song that is very heavy in terms of guitars. It's a rock-based song. It's pretty thick in terms of the guitars and the tones that we use. You know, it covers about a 3-octave range for me vocally. So I actually sang all the bass notes and all the high harmonies and everything in between. So the whole vocal production is my voice just doing different parts of what I can do. And I think that's one of the things that kind of separates this sound a little bit from others, is just the vocal range that I have. And we wanted to try to find something that would differentiate me as an artist versus some other artists out there. There's a lot of range in this song, which really highlights what I can do vocally. So that's a lot of fun. But the song really has a lot of energy. It hits really hard. And it's basically just that old cowboy motto, you know, just pour some whiskey on your wound and get over it. You know, that's kind of how you know, in the old West, people would deal with wounds like that, is just to pour whiskey on it and disinfect it. And it's don't spend too much time dwelling on a negative thing. Just pour some whiskey on it and move on. And that's kind of what the idea is on this song. You know, there's a lot of people that could relate to losing a job or getting laid off or fired or having a relationship that just doesn't work out. And you know, that person leaves you. I think everybody's probably been through something similar to those scenarios. So it's just kind of a positive song. Just, you know, just keep, don't dwell on it, pour some whiskey on it and just keep rolling on, you know? So we're having fun playing it live and the crowds react to it. And it definitely has got people's attention.
I love it. It's a great song.
Thank you.
What have you got planned for 2023?
Well, we're definitely working on more music, and we've got the songs that we want to record. So it's just getting together back with my producer, who his name's Noah Henson. He plays guitar for Brantley Gilbert, and taking that sonic character that we've created from Pour Some Whiskey and extending it into some future songs. So we've found, you know, there's a Jason Aldean song that talks about finding you grind until you find a cool new sound. And I feel like with Pour Some Whiskey on it, we found this cool new sound. So let's take that sonic character of that sound and push it forward. So that's what we're going to be planning on these next few months. We've got some great things planned in terms of touring. We'll be doing some things with some whiskey distilleries. We'll be doing some things with some huge country music festivals, potentially opening for some very, very, very big names. I'm just thrilled. I can't talk about all the details, but the things that are in the works are going to be amazing.
I'm looking forward to following it.
Great.
Yeah, so how very exciting is that? And I can't thank you enough for giving me your time today. And listeners, just search Levi Riggs and you've got all the social media. And of course, you can download his music. It's absolutely brilliant. And you've got to listen to Pour Some Whiskey on it. Definitely got to listen to that. So Levi, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you sharing your musical journey with us. And it's a fabulous musical journey, actually. Lots has gone on over those years, but right now it seems to be just accelerating to something really exciting.
It is. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
You have been listening to a Lynn Nash Music and Voice production for the Bands in the Boudoir podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed listening, and I hope you will come back to listen to further episodes in the future. Thank you very much for tuning in.